Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler.
Welcome back to Mind Mastery and Manifestation. So we've got an incredible interview for you that could not be more timely. Right now, when people are at home without the kind of freedoms, choices, resources that they're used to, freak out can really set in. What do you do about money? What do you do about your life? How do you regain some kind of semblance of control or choice or power in your life? How can you make sure that you're okay and your family's okay? Well, this is where it becomes so important and so incredibly helpful to have some spiritual tools in your back pocket. You know, as much as I am a neuroscience geek and I love talking brain stuff, I'm also deeply spiritual. And when I saw the coronavirus hit, I doubled down on my manifestation teachers because I knew if there's one skill that can help everybody right now, it's learning how to manifest at an even higher level. And there's so many gorgeous things in it. It's not just about money in the bank account, because as you're going to learn in this interview, the process of manifestation has so many beautiful psychological, you know, emotional boosting processes in it that even if your manifestations don't work, like even if you do all the processes and you don't make any more money, you will find yourself in so much more of a calm, powerful, positive, more zen-like state than you were before. And that's when beautiful ideas come. And that's when opportunities start flowing. And so it's like you're going to manifest something, you know, one way or another, even if it's just being really peaceful in a time when that is one of the rarest resources out there. So the show today, we've got Kristen Jenna. She is a manifestation expert. She has her own podcast, her own academy, and we're going to get into all of that. Her podcast is Pursuit of Bliss, where she teaches all about manifestation as well. And welcome to the show, Kristen.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here, and I can't wait to chat.
Yeah. So, you know, before we get into, you know, how do people do this kind of stuff, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, how did you find manifestation expert is not one of those professions that people like want to be when they're seven. You know, they want to be like fire trucks or police people or something like that. How did you find your way into this?
Yeah, well, I always say that kind of my profession or career, whatever you want to call it, found me. I never chose it. I was never, you know, a seven-year-old saying I wanted to do this, of course. And it kind of started a couple of years ago. I hit this rock bottom in my life where I was just so lost and unhappy and confused and unfulfilled and, you know, the paycheck and having panic attacks around money and just totally lost and drinking all the time. And I tried everything in my physical reality. Like I moved to a tropical paradise thinking that would make me happy. I switched careers multiple times thinking that would solve the problem. Started and ended a relationship and nothing filled that void. And that was the point where I was like, there has to be something else. This is not working. And that's when manifestation kind of fell into my lap. It was introduced to me and I immediately just became obsessed with it because it started changing my life immediately. And I started to seriously dive into it and study it and apply it to my life. And my life changed so drastically in 6 months. I was sharing it on social media, my journey. And I had people start reaching out to me, asking me how I was doing it. And that's how my business started, because people asked me to coach them. They asked me to teach them. And then I was like, well, if I can help other people do what I've done, like, why not do that on a mass scale? And that's how everything was kind of born. And it's been incredible. It's all kind of played out in a way that I could have never imagined, but as is the nature of manifestation.
Of course. And that's also, I loved it. As I was asking you about, you know, to tell your story, I'm thinking like, this is probably going to hit people at home really hard because it's probably what they're feeling as well, right? When we coaches in general, I find, you know, we find our calling when things are really the worst, right? Because that's when we need to be our best. That's when we get called. And that's where we're at now, like in the world. Of course, there are a lot of people here who are doing still beautifully and they're still flowing, and a lot of people are struggling. And so if you can do it, right, and you could take yourself from rock bottom to a beautiful place where not only did you fix a lot of problems and bring in a lot of abundance and joy and love into your life, but it was such a powerful transformation that people invited you, like they... Oh, it's almost like a reverse sales call.
Right? You can put it that way, yeah.
Right? Or is this like, I don't care. What do I need to do for it to give you money to teach me? Exactly. Then I think, you know, it should give, you know, whoever's listening to this a lot of hope. So let's get into it. For the people who don't really know what manifestation is, how do you define it?
There's so many ways to define manifestation, you know, because you can, and I'm sure like this is your viewpoint as well. You can look at it from a spiritual standpoint, from a scientific standpoint, from a logical standpoint. You know, there's so many ways to describe it, but the way I think of it as creating your reality through the power of your mind and your energy, and realizing that you and only you have complete control over your reality. And, you know, in my view, my belief system, our internal world is manifested into our outer reality. So our lives are a reflection of what's going on inside here. And 95% of that is subconscious. And that's what manifestation is. It's realizing that everything around you is feedback based on what's in here, and realizing that you have control based on what's inside of you. And when we take that control, right, that's when we are consciously manifesting, because manifestation, law of attraction, like, it's universal law. It's never not happening. Even if you don't believe in it, like, you're still doing it. You know, so it's just learning to consciously take control of what we're creating in our lives, rather than kind of just being a victim where things happen to us and we feel out of control.
So we're going to get into some really dicey questions here. So I hope you're ready. You know, it's all well and good for people to say, yeah, you control your reality when things are good, right? But what about when things are bad and things are happening to people? Like, you know, I can hear someone listening to your definition right now and just thinking, whoa, are you saying that I asked to get coronavirus? You know, because, hey, if my outside reality is a reflection of my inside, I have this disease, or I have cancer, or I have something else. Are you saying that I asked for that? Mm-hmm. And how would you respond to that?
I would say absolutely not, right? No one is in a place where I don't believe in the universe punishing you. Right. I believe that our personal reality is in our control, but we can't control outside circumstances, because we all have an individual kind of like electromagnetic field, which is our vibration, our personal energetic field, and that attracts to us our personal reality. But there's also a wider collective like vibration or frequency that we're a part of, and we can't control that, but we are a part of it. So we can't control everything that goes on around us, and we can't always control how that affects us. Right? All we have control of is our personal reality and how we respond to things. So it doesn't mean that you manifested yourself having the coronavirus, or you manifested yourself having cancer, or whatever it is, but it means that you have the power to change that situation, to manifest yourself having health or whatever it is that you desire. So it's not looking at it because, from my perspective, saying, you know, I asked for the coronavirus, that's being a victim. Right? We're saying this happened to me and I might not have had control over it, but I have control over what happens from here on out. And that's why I think manifestation is so empowering, because anything that happens in our personal reality, we still have control to shift that no matter what it is, like no matter what it is. And it's learning that no matter what the external circumstances are, we still have control over our personal reality.
I love that. So let's talk about a little bit of that control, right? Because it seems like here, from what you were saying, and this is kind of what I agree is as well, how I think, is yes, you know, we have a lot of different manifestations, but they're not always under our control, right? And so we may manifest maybe not the unwanted situation of getting sick or losing your job, but perhaps you manifested you being there at the right time, at the right place for that thing to happen, right? So it's sort of like, you know, we're not in complete control, right? Because we do live in this world with other people who are also manifesting. But if we all manifested with intention, right? Like, this is such a huge ideal that it may never happen. But I guess the concept is, okay, well, if we all empowered ourselves to manifest health, is it possible that we could, as a community, as, you know, a tribe, actually pull ourselves out through our powers of manifestation? And so what we would need to do is claim that control again. So when shit hits the fan and people feel out of control, what do you tell them? How did they regain that sense?
Yeah. And well, first of all, I think you're totally right. If every single person in the world empowered themselves and, you know, quote unquote, manifested health, it would happen, right? It's just a matter of, you know, what's controlling most of our subconscious mind right now. It's what we see all of the time, which is what's on the news, right? What's on the radio, what's around us. And as long as that's what is in the subconscious, that is what is collectively manifested. And so your question was, how can we feel more in control right now? And It's focusing on what you have control of. And I, you know, for me, I think the biggest concept that changed my life and my entire journey is the concept of surrender and realizing that we never have complete control, right? We have control over us and our response and our personal vibration. But like we talked about, we don't control the collective. We don't control how things happen. And, you know, for example, right now, this huge crisis that's happening, I look at it as an up level, right? Every time we intend to manifest something bigger, anything within us that's not in alignment comes to the surface to be healed. Like if we're wanting to manifest $10,000, but we're not a vibrational match, we might start attracting scarcity and more bills because we have scarcity inside us. It's coming to the surface so that we can face it with love and therefore heal it so we can rise to that next level. So as a collective right now, I see this as everything that's not in alignment as a collective, as a society, as a world, with that next level of abundance, of love, of the society that we want to head toward, everything not in alignment, the fear programming, the scarcity programming, it's all coming to the surface right now, right? So we can actually look at this as an opportunity, right? Because if many of us are able to meet this with love and with compassion and do the work to heal what's coming to the surface, then we can rise into that next level of abundance of love as a society. So I think the question of what can I do to feel more in control is this, right? What's coming up in you? Because not only are things coming up as society, but as individuals, we're having our own fear programming and scarcity programming and limiting beliefs that used to be very subconscious. A lot of them are rising to the surface. So that now we can notice what is coming up for me and start to do the work to work through that and heal and start to transmute the fear and the scarcity into love. So that as a collective, right, we are all part of this collective vibration, this collective consciousness. So when we do that work for ourselves, we're doing that work for the world. And that is the only thing that we can truly control, right, is the way that we respond. And when we do that, not only does it affect us and the people that we're around and every single person we come in contact with, whether it be online or in person, but it literally does affect the world. Like if you look at, there's been studies on people doing meditations together and the way that that affects, you know, cities and countries and crime rates go down. It's like, you can't see this stuff, but it literally is creating ripple effects. And that is in our control, our vibration, like what we are providing to the collective right now. Is it more fear or is it more love?
I love that. I absolutely love that concept. And the thing is also that, you know, in any great time of turmoil or stress or disease or whatever, we've seen this, right? We've seen this many times, that there is a group of people, and it's not a small group of people either, who come out on top. And not all of them were on top before. So what does that really mean? It means that these individuals did exactly what you said, is that instead of just staring at doom and just thinking like, well, everything is fucked, I guess I'm fucked, I'm going to sit on my hands until I get permanently fucked, right? They're thinking, well, I can shift myself. And then they get ideas that serve other people, or they get ideas for businesses that not just make them money, but really help. You're talking about ripples. So now there are energetic ripples, right? The spiritual ripples. And then there are very material ripples as well that can come when you really embrace that idea that just because everybody's looking at something doesn't mean you need to. Mm. And just because everybody's screaming doesn't mean you need to be panicking as well. And then you can really grab this opportunity. I love that you're saying it's an opportunity, because it is. I actually just posted about that yesterday. Like, hey, take the opportunity, because the blocks that you're feeling now were the blocks that existed before, as you said. If they're preventing you from making that money now, they were preventing you from making money then. You just didn't know. And so when you clear it, I mean, think about what you get to do, right? You're clearing these blocks. So you are allowing yourself to become even more creative in both a psychological, like you create other ideas, and creative as a spiritual term, where you can create even more energy and opportunity and manifestations, right? And it's this crazy thing that can happen, you know, when you just say, no, I just don't need to participate in all that noise and hysteria.
Exactly. And I think it's so beautiful because, you know, where we put our focus is where our energy goes. Where our energy goes is what we continue to attract more of. And so, like you said, we don't need to be panicked just because everyone else is. That doesn't serve us. But what I think is really important as well on, you know, the panic and the fear thing is there's a lot going around, you know, we shouldn't panic. We shouldn't fear because it lowers our vibration and, you know, it lowers our immune system. And while that's true, I think what can be really detrimental is saying, okay, I'm not going to be in fear. I'm not going to panic because I want to make sure I'm still manifesting. I want to make sure I'm still making money, whatever. And then we repress our honest feelings and we push them away and we deny them and we don't feel them. And therefore we just push them deep down, but that vibration is still within us. So I think what's really important is also, like, if you do feel fear or you feel some panic or anxiety, like, that is okay. And it's normal. And we're human. And we've incarnated here to have a human experience, which means experiencing the full polarity of emotions. But on the other side of that, you know, allowing yourself to feel emotions and allowing yourself to still love and accept yourself regardless of what emotional state you're in. But then choosing, like, this is where, you know, you talked about people come out on top. This is where that distinction is made, because everyone's going to have the emotions, but then choosing, where do I choose to place my focus, like my dominant focus? Because we can have the fear exist at the same time as we have the abundance and the love and the joy. And it's just a matter of, well, not pushing away or denying emotions, but choosing where your dominant focus is. And that is what changes everything, right? Because manifestation doesn't mean feeling high vibe and bubbly and happy all the time. It means being authentic and also consciously choosing love over fear more of the time. And that's where all the abundance comes from, like manifesting the physical abundance in your life. It starts there.
Yes, absolutely. And there's something I want to just add a little bit to what you just said there about that whole repression bit. And I know this because I repressed my emotions for so long. I didn't know that I had some of them. Mm-hmm. And man, did that trip me up for like my entire life. Until I figured it out that, like, oh yeah, I'm angry all the time. Like, yeah. That's why I feel like shit. And it is that beautiful thing of just like, well, you can't hide anymore, because everything has become so much more amplified. Whatever emotions you had felt then, you know, like, you got some beef with your family, try getting quarantined with them for 2 months and see what happens.
Right.
You know, you got relationship problems, try getting quarantined with your girlfriend and see what happens. I got some clients who are going through some of that shit right now. And so there is, you can repress only so much, and afterwards you'll just explode. Right. So now it's like, from the blocks, from your emotions, from any, there is no more hiding. And yes, it's going to push you, because we have our habitual responses to things and momentum. So if you had built up a lot of that repression momentum before, and a lot of the, well, I'm just not going to deal with this kind of feeling, then you may feel a lot of that momentum right now. And it's really your responsibility, because you know that the coronavirus is amplifying everything. That means that the momentum is going to increase. So if you allow yourself to keep hiding and to keep putting off your healing, well, you're just going to keep on doing that. And that is a surefire way to make sure that you end up as a victim. Mm. Like, a surefire, I would bet a lot of money on it.
Yeah.
That you're going down. However, the gorgeous thing is that momentum right now is accelerating for everything. So when you can just assume, just, you know what, I don't care how I've been before. it's a new world now. And so I'm going to be a new person and I'm going to, and I don't care how hard it is, reverse that momentum and start a momentum of healing and a momentum of loving even more and a momentum of just taking everything into my own control and assuming that maybe even though I don't fully believe it right now, just kind of assuming that I actually am in much more control than I think I am.
I absolutely agree. And I like what you said about maybe not even believing it, because I think that's also a big block for people is they say, but I just like don't believe this yet. Like I don't believe I'm going to be okay. Or I don't believe that the money is coming, or I don't believe. And it's like, you don't need to believe it yet. You just need to act as if you do and to take that action and to start to do this work. Because in the beginning, your brain's going to scream no, right? You can't just work through 20, 30, 40, however many years of programming and conditioning overnight. Your mind is literally going to scream at you, this feels uncomfortable, this doesn't feel right, this isn't true. And once again, this is another like distinction point. Whereas like, are you the victim or do you come out on top? And it's moving through regardless of how uncomfortable things feel or regardless of what your brain is screaming at you, because it's just coming from that past programming. So I think that's part that a lot of people don't ever fully understand, because if we're always 100% in identification with, I call it the inner critic, like that voice, you know, your ego, your inner critic, whatever you call it, that voice in your mind, as long as we're in complete identification with it, we're never going to heal. And it's realizing that we have to move past and become that the witness almost of that voice and realize like, yeah, that voice is there and it's telling me this isn't true. But right now I'm going to choose not to give that voice meaning, right? Because we get to choose which thoughts we do or do not give meaning to. You know, that's our choice. Our beliefs are our choice. Our focus is our choice. We can't always control every thought, but we get to choose what we give meaning to. And I think that that is an incredibly important distinction while you're sitting at home doing all of this work and everyone has all of this time to be overthinking all day long, you know? And so it's great. You have all of these thoughts and that's okay, but which ones do you choose to actually give meaning to?
Yes. And so let's talk some more, you know, some practical tools about switching out. Cause I know sometimes it's hard. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you could say, like, yeah, I want to switch. I listen to Krista, I listen to Dan, I listen to Abraham Hicks for 4 days. I don't know how to, I can't make that switch. So what are some helpful, like really easy tools that people can use for that?
Well, there's a few things. So the number one thing that I do that I love doing is I have a name for that voice in my head, because like I said, when we're identified with it, we think it's us. It's hard to become the witness and step out. So a really easy way to become unidentified with that voice is to name it, right? So I name mine Sheila. And so literally when I hear that voice in my head, I'm like, oh, Sheila, like I hear you, you know, and I'm just, I don't believe you today. Like, you know, so it's literally like thinking of her as just this other personality almost, or this other person that's there, so that I no longer think of her as me, right? Mm-hmm. Because another part of when we identify with that, we have this, you know, guilt or, you know, resentment towards ourselves for having these thoughts. But if we just realize that that's not us, oh, that's Sheila. I don't have to listen to Sheila today. So that's the first thing that I do. And then the second thing I do is anytime I have a thought that doesn't feel good. So I'm always asking myself, you know, does it feel good to believe that? And, you know, we get to choose our belief. So if the answer is no, then I consciously ask myself, what would feel good to believe right now? And like I said, even if I don't believe it, I affirm it to myself and I act as if. I say, what would the version of me who actually believed this, what would she be doing right now? How would she be sitting? What would her posture be like? Like, what kind of words would she be using? What activity would she be doing? So if I'm having, you know, an anxious thought, so maybe I feel anxious and I'm like, okay, what is the thought that created this anxiety? It's the thought that, you know, I might get the coronavirus. And what belief is that coming from? Well, that's coming from the belief that I'm not safe. Does that feel good to believe? No, it sure as hell does not feel good to believe that I'm not safe. So I'm going to choose right now to affirm that I am divinely guided and safe and protected in every single moment. Now, what would the version of me who actually believed that, whether or not I believe it doesn't matter, what would the version of me who actually believed that, how would she be acting and what would she be doing right now? And maybe instead of sitting on this couch overthinking and feeling fear, she would go do something she loves, like draw or read a book or write something that creates joy, go dance. That's what she would be doing. You know, how would her posture be? Would she be sitting like this or would she be sitting like this? And like these small things, like they matter. They make huge shifts. And I think a lot of people get so caught up in trying to change their thoughts, but your physical, like what you're doing matters more, because we need to actually take action as if to actually like wire that thought pattern in. We need to like prove to our subconscious, to our psyche, that we actually believe that thought, even if we don't. And the more we take action on that belief, the more it becomes solidified. So that's kind of my practice. And this isn't something that you do once and it's like, all right, that's gone, it's fixed. Like you do it over and over and over, and eventually it becomes the dominant thought pattern.
Yeah, it's kind of like a meditation. Mm-hmm. Right? But it's actually like a reverse meditation, because people normally on meditation try to stop thought. Mm-hmm. In this kind of meditation, it's actually trying to start thought, but it's trying to start thought that you want. Mm-hmm. So, because it's so hard, right? Anybody's tried meditating, just sit there and just try to tell yourself to stop thinking and your brain explodes with thoughts. Right? All sorts of things you haven't thought about since second grade come popping into your head, and it's really hard. But that's also the same thing as telling yourself, don't choke, right? Right before giving a speech. We all know to avoid that, right? Don't choke, don't choke, don't choke. What are you going to do? Colossally fuck that speech up, mm-hmm. right? And probably immediately, right? As soon as you open your mouth, boom, right there. It's even easier to direct, like you're saying. So instead of thinking thought A, just think thought B. And sometimes it kind of requires a little bit of work because your mind may snap back. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, you're thinking Corona, and then, you know, you're like, oh, this is making me feel like shit, and it's not helpful. This isn't necessary. It's not actionable, right? Like thinking about this is not helping me care for myself or anybody else. So I'm going to change my thought. I'm going to change my thought to maybe, like you said, maybe puppies. I don't know. Maybe you have a puppy or you're looking at puppies online and your brain just starts thinking about maybe that dog has coronavirus. Oh my God, I'm thinking coronavirus again. And then you come back, yeah. Right? You're like, no, caught myself. Nice try, Sheila.
Right. Back right. Sheila. Yeah. No, go right. away, Sheila. Not today.
And for some reason, in my mind, when you said it's like Sheila from accounting, it's like, Jesus, Sheila, what is your deal? Go, no, you're done. You're canceled, Sheila. I'm going to think about puppies now. And then, you know, your mind might sneak back and then you just refocus over and over and over again until like a muscle, it gets strong enough that you can catch yourself immediately. Like, I'm not going to lie, I've had some thoughts recently. You know, as of recording this right now, my parents are in Australia, 73 years old, and they live in New Jersey. My dad won the Fulbright, an incredibly prestigious award for professors to go and do research in a different country. So he was invited to Australia, and then boom, this happens. And some bumps along the way and some things have happened to give me a little bit of pause. And I've had those moments of like, I wonder if my parents are going to be okay. And the moment I felt that, I felt like my energy start to drop, mm-hmm. and did the same thing. Like, this is an unhelpful thought. Thank you very much, Sheila. You know, your opinion is really not welcome right now. And then I just kicked it out and then went back to something that would give me even more energy and, you know, peace and calm. So yeah. The idea here is not like, well, you need to be perfect or you're not doing it right. Same thing with meditation. It's about the practice and about building that muscle to continuously come back and manage your thoughts into a state that allows you to do your thing, whether it's be creative or serve people or take care of your family, because you can't do anything when you're a stressed out mess by your own thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think it's also important to note, because I'm sure you and I have been doing this for a long time. Like, we've both been doing this kind of work. We're practiced at it. But you're listening to this and this is new to you and you're just starting this out and you're finding it really hard. I think it's important to accept how you're feeling. Like, if these thoughts keep coming, the worst thing you can possibly do, like, what's worse than having fear or anxiety is judging yourself for having fear or anxiety, right? And resenting yourself for it or feeling guilty for it. Like that is so much worse than the fear ever was. So it's really important to not fall into the state of, oh, I can't do this. Like I just wish fear wasn't here and I'm so annoyed that it's still here and I shouldn't be feeling like this. So instead, like take a moment and just be like, you know what? Like I do this all the time. If I get too overwhelmed and this isn't working for me, I'll be like, you know, Kristen, I deeply love, accept, and forgive you for exactly how you feel right now. Like I see that anxiety is here. I see that fear is here. That is okay. And I still unconditionally and radically love and accept you. And that in that moment takes the power away from that quote unquote negative emotion or whatever it is that you're feeling. Because as long as we're in judgment of ourselves for having an emotion, we give it power. So in that instant, it automatically doesn't have power anymore. And then naturally and organically, it's easier to go into this reframing process, you know, but I think it's really important to note that, you know, like it's okay to feel how you feel. And most of us don't practice that radical self-love. It's like, we're proud of ourselves when we succeed in reframing a thought, or we're proud of ourselves when we, you know, achieve something. But what about, you know, showing yourself love and acceptance and forgiveness and pride, no matter what, like no matter what, even if you're having a total breakdown, like that is where the real shifts happen. That's when the real rewiring and reprogramming happens, when your brain is like, whoa, wait a second, you're receiving love right now, even though you're having anxiety? Like what? And that's when like these huge, 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 huge shifts start to happen.
And this whole part of like really accepting yourself is such a strong thing right now, because, you know, we're in conditions we've never been in before, and we're feeling things we might not have ever felt before. And we want to be strong, and we want to be courageous, and we want to be all these things. And it's almost like we feel like we need to be them all the time in order to be them. Almost like, well, you know, strong people are always strong. Are they? Like, how did they get strong, first of all? Right? Were they born that way? I sure as shit wasn't. I was born a fucked up mess. You know, I was suicidally depressed from the get-go, you know? So there is a lot of strength in accepting weakness as being a temporary thing, as being a part of our experience, and as being a message for us, an invitation to get even stronger. And to know that, okay, you know, I'm going through some shit because I'm a person and this has never happened on this planet. Okay, so we have no idea. It's okay. And it's really okay. And it's like managing your thoughts is really also about noticing when you're trying to solve problems that you don't even know what they are. Right? And this is also a really big thing in manifestation and managing your thoughts here for it, because we sometimes feel that if we think about something bad that's coming, then we can either be even more prepared for it, or we would be able to handle it, or maybe prepare, like maybe like prevent it. Sorry, that's what I was looking for. Prevent it from happening, or be ready for it when it does. But because we don't know what's coming, you know, we don't know how to solve it. So you don't know what the question is. Therefore, you can't possibly find the answer to it. But thinking about it just makes you even more uncertain. Mm-hmm. And the brain hates uncertainty. It equates it with threat, right? Uncertainty is a threat to the brain unless you train yourself to deal with it. And so we have this situation where we're like, well, I feel uncertain, so I'm going to think about this so I can get more certain. But because there are no answers there, you get more uncertain and you freak yourself out, right? Whereas you could just say, look, I'm thinking about things that like have no answers right now. How about I fortify myself and I practice my manifestations and I do my personal development and I focus in on accepting myself and loving myself so that if something happens, when I have the information that I need at that time, I will also be emotionally, cognitively, spiritually prepared to deal with it, right? So it's like this manifestation work and personal development work could also be a replacement for all of that worry and concern, because you are already including the solution to an unknown problem in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, I think that a beautiful way to describe it, is you talked about uncertainty and it's not having control, and the brain finds that scary, and it's so true. And I think right now we're all being pushed into this kind of like deep surrender. And it's a matter of what we do with that surrender. Like, do we fully surrender to it or do we resist it? Because before all of this happened, you know, we have the same amount of control we had before. Most people just had this illusion of control where we have busy schedules and to-do lists, and we have a 5-year plan and a 10-year plan and a step-by-step strategy to get every single goal done. And we know exactly what's happening tomorrow and at what time, and we have everything under control. But it's just an illusion of control, right? It's just this thing that we like replaced to make our brain feel okay about having control. But in reality, did that bring us happiness? Did that bring us bliss? Did that manifest us the life of our wildest dreams? Probably not. When I was living my life like that, I was pretty miserable, but it felt safe, right? Because like you said, our mind feels safe when we have control and there's certainty. And so a lot of us prioritize certainty and safety over fulfillment. And so right now, everything that we thought gave us that like illusion of control and that certainty has been stripped away, right? Like most of us aren't going to work. We don't have the schedule. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or in 5 years. Like all of our 5-year plans and all of our strategies have been stripped away. And now is the time to reevaluate and reprioritize and really ask ourselves, you know, right now I'm feeling so worried and miserable because all of that's gone, but was that actually bringing me what I wanted in the first place, you know? And for most of us, the answer is probably no. And so now we get to revisit that and reevaluate. And now is when surrender comes in and learning to be like, you know what? I don't know what tomorrow brings. I don't know what next year brings, but that's okay. Right. And this is when the spirituality, at least for me, comes in, is realizing that we're so guided in every single moment. And every single moment, we're still on the right path and things are still happening for our highest good in the long run. Right. And we just can't see that long-term plan. We don't know what that looks like. But being able to trust and realize that, you know, there is something better planned than I could ever imagine or I could ever create with my own 5-step plan. And like totally being able to surrender to that. And I think that is truly the only way, at least for me, to achieve that total sense of inner peace in the midst of this external chaos, is the total surrender. And it's a practice. Like it's a muscle, you know, being able to surrender. But in each moment we have that choice. And for me, that's been the most powerful practice in my life.
Beautiful. So now we've got a person, they've surrendered the idea of control. They have embraced the idea of being guided. They are managing their thoughts. They are, you know, doing everything we've said so far. What's the next step to manifesting something? Let's say money. That's something that we could all use a little bit more of. What do we do next?
Yeah. Okay. So manifesting money. My number one tip, first of all, is, you know, everyone wants to be like, all right, I'm going to manifest $1 million. And that's great. You can, but that takes a lot of inner work because a lot of us have belief systems and resistance to that. Like we don't feel worthy of it. We have so much going on around that. So I always recommend like choose a number that doesn't feel totally unrealistic to you, but you still get excited about. So if you've never manifested before, like maybe start with $5 or $10, right? If you have manifested before, like my first time consciously manifesting money was $200. So like that's the first step, is if you jump to like $10,000 and you've never even had $1,000 in your bank account, your brain's not going to be able to fathom that yet. So starting small, that's the first step, and setting that intention. And my favorite practice, I do this all the time, is I'll get like a sticky note or something and I write a thank you note to the universe. And I'll say like, universe, thank you so much for this, you know, $20. Like I'm so grateful to receive it. It was so unexpected. Like I'm just so appreciative. And I'll like feel that like while I'm writing, I'll just like seriously, like I'm usually smiling. Like I just feel that like, wow, like that unexpected $20, $30, that was amazing. And I write it on a sticky note. And I go and I hide it away in a drawer, right? Because in manifestation, when we create resistance, when we're worried about how it's going to come or when it's going to come, and we're like, oh, but I'm not working right now. How could I ever receive $20? You know, who's going to gift me $20? And we start creating this laundry list of all the reasons why it can't happen. So instead of doing that, we write it down and we just go hide it away and then go do something that creates joy for you. Like write it down, hide it away, and go immediately go have a dance party, like go call a friend, like go watch a funny YouTube video. Like you want to go experience joy, which is a high vibration, and that speeds up our manifestations, right? And so Right. Step one, setting the intention, choosing something that seems believable for you right now, but is also still exciting. Step two, like feeling that gratitude. Step three, releasing it, hiding it away. And step four, going and doing something that that helps you to experience joy, right? Because the key is to like totally let it go and let the universe surprise you. And so that's my process. And it always works for me. And it typically works for anyone who does it, as long as you are able to totally release it. And if you can't release it, if you're still thinking all day long about when is my money going to come, then you probably need to try a smaller number, right? It's too big for you, putting too much pressure on it. And when we put too much pressure on something, when we feel like we need it, we're creating resistance and it's not going to show up. So start with $5, and next time you can do 10. You know, for me, I did 200, and then I started doing 400, and then 1,000, and then it got bigger and bigger and bigger, but you have to start small.
And I love the putting it away bit. I like to think of it as trusting. You know, there's a lot of co-creation talk in spirituality, right? And yet, then when we begin to manifest, and I've done this too, and every once in a while I do it now, and I catch myself like, whoa, 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 whoa. If I'm really co-creating, that means I'm partners with the universe, right? And if I'm a good partner, do I micromanage my partner? Do I like hop into his office or her? I mean, the universe is clearly a she in my mind. Do I hop into her office like, hey, did you do that yet? Did you do that yet? When are you going to do that? Are you doing that? Let me see. I want to see if you're doing it right. Did you do all of it? When are you going to do it? I need it now. No. Your partner is going to slam the door in your face, right? It's no way to work. However, good partnership is like, hey, I would love for this to happen. I think this is going to be incredible. And, you know, think of all the things we could do with even that $200. You know, think of all the things, whatever, it's groceries, maybe it's your rent, and you're looking around like, you know, this $200 can go a long way. Look at this beautiful apartment that I can pay for, or these incredible groceries that I can get. On even on delivery, which is cool because we have that kind of technology these days, right? And you're feeling into it, talking with your partner with that love note, and just like, yeah, I know I've asked for it. I know you'll do it. I trust you. There's no reason for me to check it. I don't even have to do anything. In fact, I'm going to go play because I know you got this. And then, you know, we run away and we play and we let the universe do the damn thing. Instead of us, that's a whole part of manifesting, that we don't have to do it. Well, if we're asking for something and we're doing it anyway, why the hell did we ask for it?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's important also to note is it doesn't mean that you won't need to do anything, but it's important not to get caught up in this trap of, okay, I'm manifesting $200. Now I need to go right now and, you know, start working all day long to make sure I make that happen, right? Because that's that lack of trust. But when we intend to manifest something, it might show up as an opportunity, right? It might show up as a job for you, or it might show up as someone wants to commission a piece of artwork, or it might show up as a way that you do need to take action, but that action will show up, right? If the money's not going to disappear, if you need to take action, it's going to show up for you. It's going to become obvious, or it's going to be this like nagging thought in your head, but that, you know, it doesn't mean that you need to go and fill your whole day with action to make sure that that manifestation is going to show up. And I love your example of, you know, that partnership, because it's so true. It's a partnership and it's all about trust. And if you were in full trust that your partner is going to make it happen, right? You're not going to go and take action all day long in case they don't. You're going to wait for them to prompt you if they need your help in making it happen.
And that's where that thought management really comes in. You know, that's why so much of manifestation is that thought management is like, going back to play. Oh, no, I've been worrying about this manifestation. No, I'm going to do something else. I caught my energy going down a little bit. Ooh, here's some fear energy. Oh, it's like that constant waking meditation.
Yeah.
Bringing your thought always back. And noticing also when your energy changes as well. So if you're listening to this and you're a little bit more accustomed to spiritual work or energy work or personal development, you may already have noticed that when you're onto something that really lines up with you, your energy increases. You get a little bit more of that joy or excitement or feel good, or, you know, that feeling. It's like that beautiful hot shower kind of feeling is what it feels like for me sometimes. And when we're in something that doesn't, you know, you're listening to the news, which, by the way, just quit doing. Quit watching the news, quit listening to it, quit reading all of the news. Skim, only look for the information that you need to know so that you can take action on it, right? If you cannot take action on it, forget about it, right? It's only going to freak you out. That's part of that thought management thing, right? But when you do it, you'll notice that your energy goes down. Or it really depends on how you like to sense things. Maybe it'll be a vision for you. Like when you are thinking about, you know, manifesting $1,000 and your whole system just goes, yes, maybe you'll see a color. Maybe that'll, you know, feel like yellow or bright pink to you or something. Or you'll hear a sound. My brother hears sounds when he thinks about something. So maybe he'll hear like beautiful music. You can feel something in your body. And then when it's not so great, you know, maybe the color is like brown or whatever looks like bleh to you. Or your body might feel a little bit less excited, weaker, or a little bit, you know, something off in there. Or you might hear, you know, a sound effect of pots falling down the stairs or whatever it might sound like to you. That is another note to move. And when you do what Kristen says, you know, you write your love note to the universe and you go and play, you'll feel it. You're going to feel your energy increase. And that's how you know you're doing something that is in alignment with you and your higher being and what the universe wants for you. And that is the feeling as well that lets you know this is a perfect time to manifest. Like when you're in that space, that's when you write your love note, right? Because let's say, again, you're trying to make it real. If you're going to write a love note to a real person, are you going to want to write that love note when you're terrified? It's not going to come out right. It'll be a really weird note, right? Or are you going to write it when you're super frustrated and pissed off? Or are you going to, and we don't wait to get ourselves into things, right? Because, you know, waiting is, just get yourself there, right? If you want to feel it, feel it. You get yourself into that really loving, exciting vibe when you got all those juices flowing, and then you write your love note and, you know, you write this gorgeous thing, even if it's 10 words, but like that's when you get every word to have impact. And that's when your manifestations really flow. And that's when your energy rises. And then, yeah, you just go play.
Yeah, totally. I love that you describe it as play. It's so perfect. It's like that childlike joy. And yeah, I love that you said, you know, we don't wait, because joy, that feeling, is available to you in every single moment. And so, you know, maybe you do that play before you write the love note. Maybe you do the play before and after, like a little sandwich. And I love that you mentioned the news, because that is so important right now. You know, like we talked about earlier, your subconscious is creating a lot of your reality, and your subconscious stores everything, and whatever's dominant in there is what begins to show up in your reality. So if we're seeing dominantly fear-based news, even if we think we're looking at it consciously and like skimming it and whatnot, it's still getting in our subconscious mind, whether or not we realize it. What I recommend to people and what I do myself is sometimes news is unavoidable. You can't even go on social media anymore without seeing the news and people freaking out. So what I do is I call it like a positive news sandwich. If I know I'm going to have to see something that's negative, if I'm going on the internet or going on Instagram, I will literally go and feed my brain positive news. So there's so many positive news Instagram accounts. There's websites you can go on, like go follow a bunch of them. And I will go directly there, feed my brain with positive news about people who are like loving and all these amazing things that are happening. And then it's okay. I see some fear-based stuff. I don't read into it too much, but it's there. I'm aware of it. And then after, I go back to the positive news. So that way your dominant, like the intake, is still dominantly positive and dominantly love-based, because I think it's important to avoid the fear-based stuff. But right now it's just like impossible to completely avoid it unless you're like off the internet. So for me, it's all about, okay, it's okay if I see it, but can I make sure that my dominant intake is still positive? And that is something that you have to be very conscious about, and you have to do it on purpose every single day. And it's not always easy, but it's so important. You got to do it.
And recruit your friends or whoever is down to do this with you. You know, if you're quarantined with someone, that's the easiest. They hear you, you know, spiraling or focusing, just have them gently remind you, or have a code phrase or word, so they can just let you know, like, hey, manage your thoughts, you know, just like without judgment, without, oh, you're doing something wrong, or, oh, you should be doing something else. Just a gentle reminder. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, through FaceTime or WhatsApp or whatever, you can set up a group with your friends and just have that be a repository for like only positive shit you guys find, or only positive thoughts or jokes or, you know, funny little videos. This is when, you know, stupid cat videos and memes are like medicine, yeah. You know, because normally I'm like, ugh, these things are so dumb and serve no purpose, you know, because there are other things that we can use and people aren't using them to, you know, feel good. They're using them to waste time. But now you can do that as well. Like, you know, maybe if finding positive news is not really doing it for you and you want to do that news sandwich, I swear, watch a cat video. Like, I'm collecting for myself all sorts of little videos and things and music and all sorts of stuff to get me into the right sort of frame of mind should I want a little pick-me-up or a little help, you know, like spiritual coffee.
Spiritual coffee. I love that.
Yeah. Just a little pick me up. I'm not, you know, nothing serious. Just, yeah. Sometimes it's a little bit more challenging to manage your thoughts. And why should we always go the hardest way? So if you can have this collection for yourself or this chat room with your friends or whatever, that you can, instead of like, fuck, now I got to go look for this stuff because I want to go check the news. Oh my God. All right. Here's half an hour of my life gone because I just wanted to look at a headline. You know, you can just dip back into your collection, right? I got this video of a father dancing with his daughter on a counter. And it's,
oh my gosh, that's my favorite video.
Thing in the world.
That I literally watch that video all the time. I have it on Instagram. I hope we're talking about the same one. It's so freaking cute. All of the dance ones. There's another Instagram account. I think it's called Boss Baby Brody or Boss Brody Baby. And it's just like this like 5-year-old kid who is just like an incredible dancer and does these just like amazing dances. And I watch it every single day because it makes me feel high vibe. Like I watch that and I'm like laughing and I'm like, I want to go dance now. And it's, you know, yeah, those silly things like that. Like it's an easy, fast way to raise your vibration and to feel good. And that is such a good idea. I am going to start one of those threads with my friends.
Totally.
You know, the like high vibe, positive news only, like such a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Like let everybody do the work for each other. Like this is, you know, manifestation doesn't have to be a thing that you do on your own. Right. Like you don't really do anything on your own these days. You know, we have so much technology that like, if you feel like you need a little assistance in any one of these steps, you can get it for free, really easy. Or, hey, you know, you can just connect with me. You can connect with Kristen and you can either, you know, get the support you need or get the coaching that you need or whatever it is. In fact, let's let people know how to reach you, Kristen. Let's give them everything, you know, so that, you know, should they want to hit you up in any way, they can reach you.
All the things. Great. Well, the best way is Instagram. I'm at Pursuit of Bliss with an underscore after it. Send me a message if you listen to this. I love talking to everyone. I answer all my DMs. I also have a free Facebook group. It's kind of like a family of, you know, people who love manifestation and spirituality, and everyone supports each other. It's called Manifesting Abundance. So I probably have the link to that here as well. I have an academy. So it's called Blissful Abundance Academy, where I teach all of my manifestation secrets and how to manifest abundance. And then the last thing is I have a free manifestation training where I put together kind of like a 45-minute training. And the first 20 minutes of it, I'm talking specifically about manifesting through this time period of the coronavirus. And so those are all of the ways right now that are options I have available to support everyone.
Awesome. And I'm going to put all those links into the show notes. And by the way, I know this might not be an available option for everyone out there, but I would invite you, if you're thinking, you know, if you heard Academy and you're like, ooh, you know, I really want to, but oh, that's money being spent. And you're like, ooh, nope, nope, nope. I've got to save my money because this thing is, you know, going to come and I need it for that. Right. Really, that is shrinking. Remember that momentum, right? The more you shrink, the more you're going to shrink. And the people who shrink the most in these times are going to have the hardest times because we need to be strong, not weak, right? And when you do have the funds, And even if it makes you a little uncomfortable, but if you have an opportunity to get the coaching or the program or the support you need in anything, and I'm not just talking about this as, you know, buy our shit. You know, no, if you find a different coach, a different program, whatever it is, if some part of you is like, ooh, this is what I could really use right now. Oh, the money, right? I'd like you to consider something that, let's just say you save the money, right? So what you're doing is you're trading. You're trading that money now, saving that, right? And giving up the ability to make even more of it. So that when that money runs out, you're SOL, right? Because you have just that amount, right? Or maybe a little bit more if you're still working, but you know what I'm saying? The other side is you do spend the money and you're a little bit more uncomfortable now, but you gain maybe even just one. And I know you'll get so much more out of any good program. I'm sure Kristen's program will give you many more than just one tool that actually works for you. But what if you just get one tool that works for you and you make your money back and a little bit more on top, even if it's not a ton, right? Even if it's just $100 more, well, great. Now you have $100 that you didn't have before, right? And if you're really worried about not having enough money when whatever happens may happen, don't you want as much as you can have, right? Doesn't it just make sense? Because you save your money now, instead of getting a program, what you're really saying is you're betting on your own failure. You're saying, if I spend this money, then I'm not only not going to make more money, but I'm going to have less money than I thought. Why are you betting on your failure?
That is so, I love hearing you describe it like that. Love that. I've never heard it described like that. And I think it's also important to remember that every action we take is backing up a belief, right? You have to ask yourself, is the action I'm taking backing up a belief that I want to manifest into my reality, or one that I don't want to manifest into my reality? And so when we hold on to money really tightly and we say, oh, I'm afraid to spend it, what we're doing is we're acting from this belief of money is limited, and when I spend, I'm poorer, right? It doesn't come back. And so you have to ask yourself, is that the belief that I want to show up in my reality? Because right now that's what you're manifesting. If instead I intend to believe that every time I spend, I'm richer, that's my belief. And it's true. Every time I spend money, it comes back multiplied, period, end of story, because that is my belief and I act on it, right? So you have to ask yourself, even if it's not about spending money, about anything you do, like, what is the belief that my action is backing up right now? And is that a belief that I would be okay if that belief manifested into my reality right now? And I think that's a really important distinction in every single decision that you're making ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Am I okay with getting a whole lot more of this as well? Not just having this happen immediately, but like, it's that momentum question. Would I be okay if this is just the way things are for me from now on? And in even bigger ways, like, am I okay with shrinking? Am I okay with continuing to shrink or believing in my disempowerment? Am I okay with feeling even more and more and more and more and more powerless or like a victim? Or will I choose to do what is even harder and even more uncomfortable in the beginning so that I can clear these things out of me and be really prepared for whatever may happen? And you know what the crazy thing is? Let's say things are easier than we thought. So we just don't know. You know, everybody's like, the world is fucked. Well, maybe it isn't. You know, maybe we're going through a very difficult time. And maybe things will happen or change, or we'll discover vaccines or whatever. And let's say you're doing all this work right now, which is like high altitude training. And then the world gets easier. Well, look at you now, pro athlete of the mind, body, and soul, right? You're going to be so good because you trained in difficult times. Then when times get easier, you retain all of those gifts and skills and you start kicking ass like you never thought before, because you did what was harder, right? That's when you get the easier life. So we'll leave you with that. Kristen, do you have any last things you want to drop on them?
Oh, goodness. You know, I think the most important thing, if you take anything away from this, is that you still have control over your life. You still have all of the power, and don't forget to remind yourself that there is nothing in your personal reality that cannot be shifted in the way that you desire. So remember to place your focus there when you start to feel powerless. You have all the freaking power. And I think that is the most important thing to remember right now.
Love it. Love it. Love it. So if you're feeling the vibe and you want to know even more, please, please, please reach out to Kristen. She's got so much free stuff. Just start going through that if you're a little unsure, you know? And again, if you have any questions, comments, you want to just let us know how much you loved this episode, this little mini like manifestation intensive, hit us up, you know, go to iTunes, leave us those 5 stars in a review, or even easier, just take a screenshot of you listening to the podcast, post it up on an Instagram story, and then tag me or tag Kristen and let us know that this really helped. And that's the thing, right? The more you let us know that you really loved it, the more of this kind of stuff we're going to put out there for you because we know that you loved it. So let us, and also if you fucking hated it, let me know that. Kristen doesn't need to know that shit. Just tell me. And it's okay. So until next time, please, please, please remember to love up on yourself and, you know, someone else. Just reach out, FaceTime, just drop some love on them. Or even just, I've been sending out voice messages to people, not even wanting a response. Just saying like, hey, just thinking about you. Just sending you a lot of love. You're strong. You're going to get through this. And that's it. Just dropping them a little love bomb and moving on with your day. So lots of love from us. Have a beautiful rest of your day or night and stay safe out there.